our three first serve girls, that they are here hanging out with us, that they are taking time to serve Jesus through Acts 2 Church. And we're excited that they're here. So that was the formal introduction to them. Many of you that have been around for a while know them or have been serving with them already, but anybody else that might have been just introduced to them for the first time, make sure that you say hi to them at some point over the next several months while they're hanging out with us, and hopefully longer. So we'll see. But this morning, I just want to welcome everybody. It is cold and blistery, and man, like if today was a weekday, like there's a good chance that school would have been canceled. And so I am just thankful that that you guys braved the elements to come hang out with us this morning and just worship Jesus together. It's going to be a great morning. If you are new with us or maybe visiting us for the first or second time, in the back of the room, if you didn't notice, we have breakfast. So make sure you snag some of that if you haven't already. But then also in the back of the room is our welcome table, and that's a good place to go for information, maybe more information about the things that you saw in the video or just to find out more about who we are as a church and what we're about. We've got information in the back. We also have a card back there. It's called the Connect card. We just ask that you take a moment to fill that out and turn that in, because we want you guys to get to know who we are. And then we also have a little welcome gift for you for turning that in. But this morning, we are in week two now of our new series called Fresh Faith. This series is all about really helping us learn to love what God loves. We've been walking through, or we're going to be walking through the book of Malachi, and we started in chapter one last week, and we're going to continue from where we left off. Going into this week, but last week, just a little bit of a recap in case you weren't with us. What we were doing is we learned that God is outstretching his arms. As any good father, he is outstretching his arms, and he is calling us to take the next step with him. You know, that may look different to each individual, but he is calling us to take that next step with him. And that appropriate response for this unconditional love that he gives us, this deep, deep love that we can never really fully understand, the appropriate response to that is just to reciprocate that love. Love him in return with everything we've got. And just love him through our relationships. Before we get into today's message, though, let's just take a moment to pray for the Holy Spirit to stir within us. Father God, we just come before you this morning, and we give thanks. We give thanks for the little things, a working heater, a building that's keeping the cold out, and snow and wind and all that stuff. Father, we thank you for the people coming today to worship you. We thank you for your servants all over, right here in Acts 2, or just all over Gretna or Omaha right now that are praising you this morning. Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit dwell here this morning, that the Holy Spirit stirs within our hearts, God, that your word reveals something to us where we can take that next step closer to you. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And so I was fully planning on standing up here at this particular moment and sharing all kinds of personal stories. You know, sometimes I do that, and sometimes you get sick of it, and sometimes I don't. But nonetheless, like, I had every intention of standing here and talking to you and sharing stories about when I've been lazy in my life. Moments where, you know, like, I just don't want to do my laundry, might let it sit in the washer and dryer for several days. Emily knows what that's all about. Maybe, you know, I just don't want to go do the dishes and figure if I wait long enough that they'll just clean themselves or whatever the case. Like, I have every intention of sharing those stories. But I ran across a video that I would rather show you that really kind of takes that to the next level. So check this out. Now, don't get me wrong. When I saw this, I was like, man, that is ingenious. Or some of them, you know, we saw really probably took a lot of effort to be so lazy. And I remember moments as well in my life where I kind of went out of my way to try to be lazy, and it ended up putting forth more effort than what it would have been just to complete the task that I was trying to avoid. But I started thinking about this, and I think that we often see this kind of laziness creep into our lives. I think that we often see this desire to avoid things, and sometimes we'll just put forth extra effort to just do what we can to try to be lazy. And it's crazy. Like we come up with these, you know, maybe elaborate schemes to get by with doing something, and it put forth so much more effort to instead of getting out of the chair to turn the channel on the TV. Like, you know, I wonder how much time that guy might have put into whatever contraption he had. You know, or the guy that was sitting there with the string tied to his child on the swing. Like, that is brilliant, but I wonder how much time and effort he put into that instead of just standing there and pushing his child. And I wonder how much he's missing out on in the relationship because of that. I wonder, as we allow this kind of laziness to sometimes creep in our lives, sometimes kind of take over moments, I began wondering and really kind of pondering, do we allow that same kind of laziness to creep into our spiritual lives? Do we sometimes allow other things to distract us or to maybe be an excuse instead of spending time with God? You know, maybe it's, maybe we might be too ashamed, or we might feel bad about something that we did or said. And we just feel like if we avoid it and instead do something else, you know, then we don't have to confess, or we don't have to repent. Like, I wonder how often this is prevalent, especially within Western Christianity today, that we allow this kind of laziness to take part and take a hold and hold captive our spiritual life. And so we've been walking, we started walking through the book of Malachi last week. We started in chapter 1, the first 5 verses, and you know, I kind of shared a little bit of context of what was going on. You know, that the people of Israel were returning to land after a long exile. They had returned to this land, and conditions were not all that favorable. You know, there were the people that had returned, you know, they were facing a lot of things like poverty, and they were facing you know, whether or not they're going to be fed. Like, they were facing difficult circumstances. And their response, like we talked a little bit as we were talking about those verses about what their response was and how our response matters to God's word. And so here, when we're going to pick up in Malachi chapter 1, in verse 6, but you know, the what we see as we go into this is we see more grumbling. We see more, you know, just kind of discontent, you know, from the people. And so what we see is that they're really not putting their best efforts in. So let's pick up in Malachi 1, starting in verse 6. It says, "As son honors his father, and a slave his mother, or his master, if I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is your priests who contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands? Says the Lord. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. I'm going to read that verse one more time. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, and then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. What do we know about sacrifices in the Old Testament? What do we know about them? We know that it was fairly common. It was fairly routine. It was something that the people did to reconcile their relationship with God, you know, before Jesus. But we also know that they were called to bring the best. They were called to bring the best of their flock. They were called to bring the best sacrifice to the Lord. And so what we see is God's people here becoming lazy in their worship of Him. We see God's people just not giving their best. You know, as I mentioned, it was very routine to provide these kinds of sacrifices. But here we see God talking to the priests in particular, and these priests are being rebuked through Malachi. Like, God is speaking through Malachi, and He is rebuking them for bringing offerings that were blind or lame or tainted or blemished. Just not the best. These kind of external offerings are a reflection of where their hearts were. So I've got to ask, are we bringing God our best? These people that were returning back to their land, they lost their passion, they lost their zeal, they lost their obedience to the commands of God. They just weren't there. They felt like they were just checking off boxes, but they weren't giving wholeheartedly. They weren't giving what was originally meant to display grateful hearts. They weren't giving. They weren't providing. And see, God shows us throughout the Old Testament that these sacrifices were meant to be the best. They were meant to be a moment of giving back to God in worship. And so what we see God's people here doing for, I couldn't necessarily come up with a better illustration or a better visual, but all I could picture was this was the ancient equivalent of 2-week-old pizza that has been left uncovered that's starting to curl up and just be all dried out. Like, that is what they're giving back. Nowhere near the best. Nowhere near the freshest. And I know, like, I remember when I was in my late teens and early 20s, and, you know, that two-week-old pizza still did its trick. Like, I would still eat that. But, man, like, it was not the best. No matter how much I heated it up, it was not nearly as good as it was when it was made right out of the oven. And that's what God is calling us to do. That is what God is asking of his people, to give him their best. And so as we continue on in the book of Malachi, I want us to learn from what we read in Scripture. I want us to listen to what God is telling us, and we want to take moments to reflect on where we might not be giving God our best. Here they were presenting these tainted, lame, blind animals as some sort of great offering. Here they were thinking that they're checking off the box to satisfy something, satisfy a task. But in reality, what they were doing is providing God the bottom of the barrel, the stuff that natural selection typically picks off when it comes to these kinds of animals. And they're trying to give them to God as a sacrifice to bridge the gap that is caused by their sin. That led me to think that, you know, as God was laying on my heart towards the end of the year and coming into the new year, this idea of going deeper with him, this idea of going deeper in study, going deeper in healing, going deeper in what God promises us, it got me thinking, like, how often do we give God our leftovers, our bottom of the barrel? How often do we give God our last bit of energy when we just got tired of spending it in other ways? How often do we give God the leftover time? Or how often do we give God the leftover finances? How often do we give God our leftovers? What makes everything worse about what was going on here, as we read about the Israelites, what makes it even worse is that not only were they giving him the cruddy leftovers, the bottom of the barrel stuff, but then they start complaining about it. In verse 13 it says, "And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord." They cease to enjoy and delight in worshiping God. They have ceased to enjoy and delight in worshiping God with their very best energy, their very best time, their very best of their flock and their resources. They've reduced their relationship with God to simply checking off religious boxes. Do we sometimes do that as well? Do we sometimes just say, "Well, I made it to church on Sunday, that's good enough"? Do we sometimes say, "You know what, God, I'll get to prayer tonight before bed"? Then we crawl into bed, "Oh, now we're too tired." How often do we do things like that? How often do we just not give our very best, showing our hearts are fully surrendered to him? They have become a self-centered, the people that we're reading about, they have become self-gratifying, rather than pursuing worship with our Creator, rather than giving him everything that they have. And sadly, what they're missing out on, just like I imagine that the guy with the string pulling on his child in the swing, they're missing out on the beauty and joy of God's design, God's relationship with his people, because they're not worrying about worshiping him. They're worrying about checking off boxes. Humanity, we see joy in living for the glory of God. It says within Scripture that we were created to glorify God. That's where we see our greatest joy, rather than our own glory or creating our own self-satisfaction. There is no deeper satisfaction in our souls than we truly help somebody or help others unconditionally. This unfiltered act of worship is a way to give God our lives and our best, our very best. See, God says through Malachi, he is not pleased with the gifts that they are giving. He is not happy with what they are offering. They're taking the junk and trying to offer that as a great sacrifice. See, when we don't give our best, it's not really a sacrifice, is it? When we don't give the very best, is it really a sacrifice? When we just kind of give the leftovers, it's not really worshiping God. It's not really giving a sacrifice at all, because you know what? It's the leftovers. The leftovers will eventually just go away. Or we'll start a new day and give our best to something else. We need to reconsider the way we spend our time. We need to reconsider the way we handle our finances. We need to reconsider how we give our hearts. There is no greater gift than giving God and Jesus our all. There is no greater gift than what God gave to us through Jesus. You know, I start thinking about gifts, you know, and what they represent. You know, a gift is typically given to someone that you love, that you cherish, that you desire a relationship with. And these gifts are typically given with no expectation in return, right? You know, think about, you know, your spouses or your children or your friends. And when you give them gifts, like, you don't really expect anything in return from them, do you? Well, God is talking to the Israelites, and he is expecting things. He gives us Jesus so we can believe in him, so we can spend eternity with him, and he expects our best in return. He expects us to give him everything we've got. He expects us to kneel down before the cross and hand him our hearts. He expects it. You know, but then as I started thinking more about these gifts, I sometimes think that, you know, sometimes the recipient of the gift has a little bit different mindset than the giver. Sometimes the recipient of the gift opens it up and, you know, maybe it's a child or a grandchild, and they open up a pair of socks, and they're like, oh, crud. Socks again. I remember when I was a kid, I had a grandma every year would give all the kids, and I was probably fifth or sixth grade, and I had plenty of cousins younger than me. I remember that grandma would give all the kids body spray, and not like deodorant body spray, but like actual like cologne kind of body spray. And here I am, like a fifth grader. What do I need to know that for? Like, why do I need this? And not only that, but it would be like stuff that I had never heard of before, that, you know, is probably getting picked up in the aisle at the Dollar General. Like, you know, the it was called BOD. Like, I come on. And I remember opening this stuff and being like, oh, no. Like, what am I going to do with this? But I didn't see what the gift was really about. It wasn't so much about what it was. It was the heart behind it. And so I think about how maybe sometimes we treat the gift that God gives us as something that we want to just give back or not take and receive and understand the giver and the heart behind the gift. See, when we do that, we're not far off of those original Israelites. Because then it's more about us than it is about God, than it is about Jesus. It's more about our own wants and desires and not understanding about giving back the best. See, God has given us the very best gift of all time, given us a gift that saves our souls for eternity. Eternity is so much longer than our little time here on earth. Eternity is so much greater than the short period of time in our fleshly bodies. Yet we see how the nation of Israel was returning that gift, the promises that God had given them. We see how the nation of Israel, and really all over the world right here in 2020, how we are sometimes pushing away that gift. We see all over the news all the things that are happening within our world. We see what happens when people push away the gift of Jesus. We are seeing what is happening. But ultimately, what we need to realize that the major point here is that we cannot forget the satisfaction. We cannot forget the joy that comes from an unfiltered, unashamed worship of Jesus with everything that we've got. We cannot forget the promises that are given us. We cannot forget that God is calling us to give Him our very best. See, through Malachi, God is imploring us. He is reaching out to us to give God gifts that are worthy of His glory. To give God a life that is worthy of His greatness. He is begging us to give God our very best. Malachi is speaking to us right here and right now, just as he was the nation of Israel. He's calling our best energy, our best time, our best resources and finances. He is calling for our very best. You know, in Scripture, it talks about giving Him the first fruits. That means the very best of the crop, the very best off the top is given to God. Then the rest of life gets what's left. The rest of life gets after we give glory to Jesus. Offering God the best of all that we have, our whole entire hearts, our best energy, time, and resources, will bring a satisfaction to your soul, will bring a joy to your life that will surpass anything else that the world has to offer, will surpass anything else that wants to pull at those very best things, that wants to take those away from God. Fully surrendering, fully offering your life as a living sacrifice to Jesus will bring a joy you've probably never seen before. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you. We come before you just to humbly ask for your guidance. Humbly ask for you to reveal one area of our life that is taking the best away from you. God, we ask for the revelation. We ask for our eyes to be open, our hearts to be open, and God, our feet willing to walk in a direction that you provide. Father, we just ask that that as we continue into worship this morning, God, that you speak to us through your prophet Malachi, that you speak to us through reflection of our lives. What's an area that we can identify right here and right now that has been taking the very best away from you? God, and let us identify those things, and let us take a step in a new direction. Let us take a step towards a fresh faith. Let us take a step in going deeper with you, God. That is the next step that you're calling us to. And Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you share all throughout Scripture. We thank you for the ultimate sacrifice in your Son, Jesus. So God, through our belief in him, through our faith and trust and obedience and complete surrender in him, God, we can sit by you in heaven for eternity. Father, we just praise you this morning. God, re-inspire the zeal in our lives to worship you with our very best. And we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.